You're listening to the Happy Doc Student Podcast, a podcast dedicated to providing clarity to the often mysterious doctoral process. Do you feel like you're losing your mind? Let me and my guests show you how to put more joy in your journey and graduate with your sanity, health, and relationships intact. I'm your host, Dr. Heather Frederick, and this is episode 15. In this episode, we welcome back Dr. Julie Konzelman, who's going to talk to us about publishing research. Dr. Jules earned her doctorate in management at University of Phoenix and her copy editor's certification from UC San Diego. She is a faculty member at the Jack Welch Management Institute, the CEO and editor-in-chief at Scholar Chatter LLC, and the CEO and copy editor at Superior Editing Services. Dr. Jules is an accomplished business leader, copy editor, mentor, teacher, public speaker, journal reviewer, and author. And today, she's back with us to speak about publishing a journal article. Welcome back, Dr. Jules.
Hi there, Dr. Heather. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, awesome. Hey, we know that most students, they get to this endpoint where they have this rather lengthy dissertation or doctoral project, and a lot of times they're just so happy to be done, they never want to look at it again. But certainly there is an expectation that you would go on to publish this as a journal article.
Correct. The catchphrase in most doctoral programs is lifelong learner. And that means that once the dissertation is done, that moment that you become Dr. You, the lifelong learning continues afterwards. So the expectation is to continue researching and writing and eventually publishing a journal article or two or 500.
And let's face it, most people aren't going to sit down and read 100+ page manuscript, right? Dissertations, doctoral projects are very long. You've spent all this time, blood, sweat, tears. You set forth because you had something you wanted to bring to the academic community. And it always breaks my heart when students don't take that extra step, that next step to get it published.
There's a word for that. It's another four-letter word. We don't like four-letter words. This one is fear. Most scholars, you know, they're tired, they've gone through the ringer with get it more concise, get it more concise, get it more accurate, and they still have 100 pages. But when they're done, they don't know what to do after that. Remember the doctoral process, they have you and the committee members and all the reviewers at the university, the dean, the IRB, and now they're Dr. You, and it's them. And that fear of going forward, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to do it, as we know, the dissertation being average around 40,000 words, a journal is going to ask you to squeeze that to anywhere from 3,000 to 8,000 words. So that fear of, how do I take this and make it this? That is a real problem for a lot of scholars once they've earned their degree.
You have come up with this innovative idea to create a journal. The name is Scholar Chatter. And I would love for you to talk about what is the vision for this journal and how did you create it to really fill this niche?
Our little tag phrase is passion led us here. And that was where Scholar Chatter was developed. The passion to stay a lifelong learner and keep moving forward in the research and writing process. And the vision very simply is that Scholar Chatter empowers researchers to enhance the world innovatively through publication of the written word. And the mission, of course, is to help people learn to fill the gap in research by disrupting the norm and publishing articles while upholding scholarly standards of rigor and truth. So that's our mission and vision in a nutshell, really says a lot in a few words. We want to encourage new degree earning scholars to, keep moving forward with that research and writing process and take what it is that they want the world to know about their topics and keep helping it evolve.
Most oral defenses that I've been on, someone on the committee will say, what are your plans for your research? Right. And of course, you can go the route of working on your dissertation, narrowing it down, submitting it to a journal, like an APA journal, for example. But sometimes the rejection rate is so high, it's something that isn't appealing to someone who's just been through this arduous process of getting their doctorate.
That is a huge point with the doctoral process, the rejection. And it's not just, you know, from the committee while someone's developing their dissertation, but when they get to IRB and the paper comes back, rejection. And they fix it, rejection. They get to the dean, rejection. Journal companies are the same with rejection rates. Most, when they put out a call for papers, will state on their website that they accept anywhere from 2 to 15% of the articles or abstracts that are sent to them, and they publish about the same rate, about 10%. So part of our disruption in the journal process is we have our hands-on process where the rejection rate is going to be very minimal. Our idea is to help scholars keep that evolution of their topics going. If they're going to take the time and effort to sit down and extract from their dissertation into a journal article, they should be able to publish it when they're done instead of marketing that same article to 12 different journals for 15 years. It detracts from people wanting to move forward, and it adds to that fear factor that we discussed earlier.
For me, it's such a heartbreak to see all this effort and great research coming out of these projects to just know they're sitting just on ProQuest, which isn't accessible to most people, right? And I know personally, my chair was at me, my doctoral advisor was at me to publish my dissertation. It took me over a year, multiple revisions with a journal article. It wasn't a pleasant experience. And it took me a year actually just to submit the first one. And then it took me a year after that. So this was a two-year process. Now I was in academia. A lot of the students nowadays are out there changing the world and would like to have their dissertation published as a journal article. And what I think is so novel about the company that you've put together is that you help someone do this through workshops. Could you talk a little bit about those workshops?
I will. One thing I want to go back to, a point that you just made about ProQuest. ProQuest is not publication. ProQuest, it is, but it isn't. It is the repository for an academically created degree-bearing document. It is not peer-reviewed. Thus, one can take their dissertation, make it much, much smaller, and publish it as a journal article where it's peer-reviewed. Scholar Chatter is a double-blind peer-reviewed journal article. So what we do is invite people to come to a workshop where they are with me, working with me in a workshop on Zoom, and we talk about the beginning process of, you know, starting to take that dissertation and turn it into a journal article. And then we have another workshop where we, you know, expand a little bit more on the content, what's expected, how to do an outline. The third workshop is actually a working workshop where folks bring what they've already extracted from their dissertation to the workshop. And we do a little bit of a share. They can ask questions. They can say, I got stuck here. For this particular workshop, we're trying to get all the elements covered. And then the last workshop is where I give them a little more feedback. Hopefully they have a really good draft ready. And that draft goes into the peer review process. So after that peer review process, there's two people that will review a document, give their feedback. The author makes revisions. The eventual express, it may go to an assistant editor to look at, just to see if they see anything else that needs to get changed. It might go back to the author. So we'll say that process is all done. Then it comes to me and has my eagle eye look at it. And I expect to publish a journal that I would be proud of if I had written it myself. So I'm not just sitting here picking and choosing and deciding, well, I like this one, I don't like this one. It fits within a specific niche of a genre. We publish all genres. So if it's about healthcare, criminal justice, what else is out there? IT, human resources, management, whatever the genre might be, we have a niche for it with our journal. And that's basically the process.
I love this idea of being both disruptive and inclusive.
Exactly. The inclusive part is also part of the diversity and inclusion statement, which basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it basically just says that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you're writing about, we will publish what you've written as long as it meets, you know, the scholarly tone, scholarly writing, it has the rigor of research and, you know, moves a topic from point A to point B to point C, et cetera. We want to help people, you know, do what we ask them to do as a lifelong learner, but we want people to be able to have that evolution of their work be published and not like you said, go through that 2-year process of trying to get something published. You know, when we get to that oral defense and we're done and we're scholars, we know that we have it within us to, you know, do what we've done. We know how to do ethical research. We know how to take a problem and find a solution, or at least find the truth. That's the main thing about what we do as scholars. Even if it's, you know, personally, inherently, we think this, our research might prove otherwise. And we publish it and say, okay, so I thought this, but this is the truth. And then we can keep going. So here's this truth. Now, what do we know about it? And so on. And I think people will gravitate more toward a positive, inclusive, disruptive process than the process that, you know, keeps putting that hand in their face or the stop sign in front of them. The fear changes to rejection. And when we get to that point, we start to kind of slip away from what we want to do. It becomes, you know, a thought. I would have liked to have done that. I would rather hear people say, I did it, even if it's one time. But, you know, I got the bug. I'm still writing and publishing myself. So my topic is important to me, and I want people to know about how it's evolving. I want to help it evolve. That was the whole idea behind me getting my degree in the first place. And I think that's the same for a lot of people, that they believe so deeply in their topic. They're Dr. You now, and I would like to have people be able to make that dream come true.
And, you know, no matter how much you want to believe that people are going to read your dissertation, I'm here to tell you, they're not. Maybe the abstract, right? But I love that you looped back around to ProQuest, because I will ask students, you're planning on publishing this, right? And they go, oh, yeah, I did in ProQuest. And I'll say, no, that doesn't count. I don't know if that's the right word. Yeah, that's part of the steps you do, one of the milestones to complete this capstone project. But really, you probably went into this degree wanting to create some information that would make the world a better place for someone. And don't stop once you get awarded the degree. Get it out there in a journal article. And what I love about Scholar Chatter and the way you've described it is, it's not just for the doctoral students who have finished. You may be working on your doctorate, or you may be a faculty member, and this would be a great avenue for you to get your research out, correct?
Yes. Our focus is just on publishing research. So it can be new research from the dissertation extraction, or it can be continuing research, new research. In a scholarly world, we can take any topic and turn it into a research project because we have that knowledge and skill. So it isn't just for people who are, you know, in school and learning, because there are some people who haven't earned their degrees that have to publish. But faculty members, they do have to publish to get credit to keep their jobs in some university systems. And they're still along that focus of lifelong learning. So just because they're, you know, done with their degree, they've been a faculty member for, you know, 20 years, they're still focused on getting their topic to evolve regardless of, you know, everything in the past. So we are limited to nobody, I guess is the best way to put it. That's why I said we have that very innovative inclusion policy, which is everybody.
So regardless of your discipline, if you're looking to get your research published, I'm going to encourage you to check out Scholar Chatter. And that is the name of the website, correct, Dr. Jules?
Yes, it's www.scholarchatter.com.
Let's talk a little bit about open access and what that means.
Open access means that anybody, anywhere can access the article. So if it's print, then you can get it at a library, or it's in a sent to you in some kind of formal bound book. Most journals now have online access, and that just means that you can go to the journal, or there's a DOI identifier number attached to the journal article, and you can just open it up and start reading it. That's open access, means anybody can look at it for free.
And Scholar Chatter has that aspect.
Yes. All of our articles are posted to the publication tab on the website. Anybody can look at them.
Fantastic. So I'm going to encourage people to check that out, because you don't want the last thing that you write in terms of your research be your dissertation. You absolutely want to move it the next level, get it out there in the public, and Scholar Chatter may just be what you're looking for.
Exactly. And that's why we're here. And that's why we, you know, why I created this company was the access. I mean, if we want to put one word on this, access to assistance and someone knowledgeable to help guide people through the process. But also at the end, when the journal is published, that anybody can go and read it, anybody can cite it. And one thing that about journal articles versus the ProQuest publication of a dissertation is most journals expect scholars to cite peer-reviewed articles and materials, and a dissertation is not a peer-reviewed document. So that one little extra step from earning your degree to taking your dissertation and turning it into a journal article, or several, for some people who have some very broad topics, that one step, I think that is the step that actually turns somebody into a scholar, if you will, in the full sense of the term, because we've gone from the educational part, the academic part, to the private author.
To getting it out there to the world.
Exactly.
Thank you for being courageous and filling the niche. And I look forward to continued conversations, Dr. Jules. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so very much for having me.
You can find out more information about Scholar Chatter, as well as different ways to connect with Dr. Jules, in the show notes below this recording.
Thanks for listening, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. If you're enjoying the Happy Doc Student Podcast, could I ask you a big favor? Would you be willing to rate, review, and subscribe? It would help me get noticed by more people like you, people who know there is a better way to navigate the doctoral process. One more thing, just a quick reminder that the information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only.